The Torah content from now through Pesach has been sponsored by the Kofsky family in loving memory of Adira, who loved big ideas and asking big questions. Hello, I am Rabbi Matt Schneeweis, and this is the Stoic Jew podcast, where we explore the relationship between Judaism and Stoicism. You in the mood for a insomnia-induced stream of consciousness episode? Because you're going to get it. Let me give you some background info to set the stage. So as you might have inferred from the previous episode, this week I went to the funeral of Popo, of my grandmother, and the funeral was in Honolulu. So let me just tell you from a, sleep slash physical slash psychological perspective where I'm coming from. So Saturday night, after Shabbos, I got 5 hours and 19 minutes of sleep, because I took a nap on Shabbos, in part because we changed the clocks, and so I lost an hour, and mostly because I was had anxiety and stress about the funeral and the travel. Okay, so that was a Saturday night. Sunday morning, I took a 9 a.m. flight from JFK, direct flight to Honolulu, and arrived there at 2:30 p.m. So it was an 11 and a half hour flight. Longest flight I've taken, I think, since I was a kid. Got there, and then I figured I really should stay up instead of going to sleep when my body told me to, because if I went to sleep when my body told me to, then I would wake up at midnight and that would mess me up for the next day. So I forced myself to stay up for the, additional 6 hours that I needed to approximately. And I got a decent amount of sleep, 6 hours and 42 minutes. Very interrupted though, because, lots of reasons interrupted, psychological, physical. So then the funeral was on Monday morning, at 10:30. The whole weekend was very emotionally exhausting as well. I mean, it was a really, really good funeral. I'm really glad I went. It dug up a lot of painful emotions and sadness and all this other stuff, which I'm sure affected things. So then funeral was at 10:30 on Monday morning, took a 3 p.m. Monday flight, red eye back to New York. That was a 9 hour flight. I cannot sleep on planes, so I did not sleep on the plane. I tried, got 0 hours of sleep, arrived in New York at 7-ish in the morning, got back to my apartment, decided I needed to get some sleep, so I got an hour and 47 minutes, and then forced myself out of bed so that I can try to normalize as quickly as possible. And you have to realize, I have a difficult enough time when the clock changes in general, okay, even without all this travel and all this emotional stuff. So I forced myself to stay up all of Tuesday, then finally went to sleep. Tuesday night, I got a great sleep, 7 hours and 41 minutes, because I was so exhausted. And then next day I woke up feeling, somewhat refreshed, but still very exhausted and drained from the week. And then last night, Wednesday night, I got 3 hours and 38 minutes of sleep. Why? Well, I had a hard time falling asleep because of the clock change, which also affected my eating. I ate about an hour later than usual, and therefore my heart rate was still a little bit more elevated than usual by the time I went to sleep. So it took me a little while to get to sleep, and then I went to sleep, and then lo and behold, 2:15, I am awakened, and I am guessing with 95% certainty that it was the car outside of my apartment on the street blaring loud music. Okay, at 2:15 in the morning, all right? Now, I say 95% certainty because I wear earplugs when I go to sleep, and I don't know what woke me up, but when I did wake up, then I could hear this loud music through my earplugs. And so I tried to go back to sleep, eventually decided maybe 3 to get out of bed and to read. And I'm sitting on the couch reading, And the car is still blaring this music, and I eventually get fed up, and I've never done this despite living in this apartment for 13 years, and this is not uncommon that there are inconsiderate people on the street, but I actually started to look up how to file a noise complaint, seems like you have to call 911, and that's not really something I wanted to do, but my finger was literally hovering over the call button, and then the car drove away at around, like, I don't know, 3:20, 3:30. So I continued reading, read, I've been reading the book, original book, Catch Me If You Can by Frank Abagnale, which is one of my favorite Spielberg movies. Finished the book. It was a great book. Tried to get back into bed at around 4, tossed and turned and tossed and turned till about 5:15, and then decided, okay, this is hopeless. And then I got up out of bed and had coffee and learned. So that was my morning this morning. So what I want to share in this episode is a thought I had while I was tossing and turning on my bed between 4 and 5. Okay. So the thought, to summarize, was that my insomnia was entirely caused by the Satan. Okay. So let me explain what I mean. Okay. And, you know, part of me wants to try to summarize my entire view on what this the concept of the Satan is. I know that that's going to be impossible to do. So I'm going to paraphrase it instead of going through the whole thing. I will link to one shiur I've given on the Satan that is on YouTube. I've given a lot of shiurim on it, but I think only one of them is recorded. So if you're interested in that, then you can listen to this 45-minute shiur. But you know, the key statement to understanding the Jewish view of the Satan is in the Talmud in Bava Basra, Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, in page 16a, Amar Reish Lakish, Hu Satan, Hu Yetzer Hara, Hu Malach HaMavis. So Reish Lakish said, the Satan is the evil inclination and is the angel of death. In other words, they are all synonyms for the same thing. Okay. And if you really want to understand the Satan, there's no better way to understand it than to read the Rambam in the Mor HaNevuchim, the Guide for the Perplexed, Book 3. Really read chapters 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, okay? Because that's the full view. But basically, the summary is that Satan comes from the root sin tet hei, which means to deviate. And in Aristotelian terms, the Rambam explains that the Satan is the phenomenon, or that which causes the phenomenon of matter deviating from form. Okay. And again, if you want to listen to the shiurim, I go into that a little bit in more in depth. But my understanding is that really the Satan takes on two forms. Okay. One form is in the physical existence, physical universe outside of man, and then the other is within man. Okay. And when we talk about the manifestation of the Satan outside of man, we call that Malach HaMavis, which, you know, translation is the angel of death. I think the modern term for it would really be called entropy, okay? Which is the, you know, the tendency in Aristotelian terms, the tendency of matter to deviate from form, or the tendency for things to deteriorate. And then when the Satan manifests itself in man, then we call it the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, okay? And the best exposition of these manifestations of the Satan really can be found in the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, Book 3, Chapter 12, okay, where he talks about the three types of Ra. The three types of Ra, I'll add a link to to my translation of this chapter. Ra is I'm using the Hebrew term Ra because in Hebrew it's very multifaceted, and it's very difficult to pin down to a single English translation. Ra can be translated as bad or badness. It could be morally evil, displeasing, detrimental, harmful, loss, destruction, non-existence, corruption, pain, suffering, deficiency, lack, privation, unhealthy, inferior. Any of these negative terms could be Ra. Okay, so the Rambam says that there are three types of Ra that are occur in the universe. Okay, the one type is the type one is the type of Ra inherent in matter. Okay, and I'm going to read this from the Rambam himself. He says, the first kind of Ra is that which is caused to man by the circumstance that he is subject to genesis and destruction, or that he possesses a body. It is on account of the body that some persons happen to have great deformities or paralysis of some of their organs. This Ra may be part of the natural constitution of these persons, or may have developed subsequently in consequence of changes in the elements, for example, through bad air or thunderstorms or landslides. We have already shown that in accordance with the divine wisdom, genesis can only take place through destruction, and without the destruction of individual members of the species themselves would not exist permanently. Thus, the true kindness and beneficence and goodness of God is clear. He who thinks he can have flesh and bones without being subject to any external influence or any accidents of matter, unconsciously wishes to reconcile two opposites, namely to be at the same time subject and not subject to change. If man were ever subject to change, there could be no generation. There would be one single being, but no individual forming a species. Okay, you know what? I'm not going to read this whole thing. Okay, I'm just going to summarize it because I'm tired. Basically, this first type of Ra is Ra that is intrinsic to matter. Matter has limitations, and it deteriorates. So, whether you're talking about an apple rotting or a wooden house, rotting or a body aging, or the vast majority of types of sicknesses or illnesses or physical health problems, that is really due to the first type of Ra. Okay. Second type of Ra, and again, I'm just going to paraphrase here, is interpersonal, which is Ra that people inflict on each other. Okay. And this is due to the fact that man has free will, and that he has an animalistic part of himself, the Yetzer Hara, the evil inclination, which, again, I don't even like to use the word evil inclination. Really, it's the animalistic orientation which results in evil for human beings because it is short-sighted and appetitive and egocentric, and these qualities which lead to harm. So that's the second type of Ra. And the third type of Ra is the largest category, the Rambam says, which is the Ra that a person inflicts on himself. Okay, due to his own imperfections and bad decisions. So I'm sitting here in not sitting here, lying here in my bed between 4 and 5, and I'm thinking about what usually happens. Again, the way my insomnia tends to happen is once I wake up, I can't fall asleep, and my mind is going on all of these anxieties and worries and blowing things out of proportion. So I'm thinking to myself, it suddenly dawns on me that my insomnia is being caused by the three types of Ra. Okay, and therefore by the Satan. Okay, how so? Well, physically, I put my body through a ringer when I, due to the travel and also the clock change, which I guess is technically speaking, you can blame Ben Franklin for daylight savings time and the clock change, or you could blame the government for upholding it. But the in point in fact, the body has its own circadian rhythm, and I was deviating from it, which I guess is really a combination of type 1 and type 3, because it was my own decision to try to force this change. And then the cause of me waking up and then keeping me up for that initial hour and a half or whatever was the guy blaring music in the car. Okay, so then I began thinking about this guy, and of course, during the event, then I was quite upset with him. And then I started to realize, actually, I did not realize, I didn't think about this Marcus Aurelius quotation until I was preparing this episode. But let me read the Marcus Aurelius quotation because I think it frames it pretty well. So he says, which translation do I want to read? I'll read my own translation here. Okay. This is in 520. Okay. In one respect, man is something with the closest affinity to us, in that it is our duty to do good to men and tolerate them. But insofar as some are obstacles to my proper work, man joins the category of things indifferent to me, no less than the sun, the wind, a wild animal. These can impede some activity, yes, but they form no impediments to my impulse or my disposition, because here there is conditional commitment and the power of adaptation. The mind adapts and turns round any obstacle to action to serve its objective. A hindrance to a given work is turned to its furtherance. An obstacle in a given path becomes an advance. And if that last sentence sounds familiar to listeners of this podcast, it's because that is the source of the phrase, or the shortened version, the obstacle is the way. Or as my medallion says, the impediment to action advances action. What stands in the way becomes the way. So I'm thinking about this guy, okay, blaring the music, and I am filled with animosity and annoyance. And then it dawns on me, what kind of human being must this person be to blare music from his car at 2 a.m.? Okay, and I'm thinking to myself, I mean, what are the possibilities here? So one possibility is he is so completely self-absorbed that it doesn't occur to him that there is a whole neighborhood of people, men, women, and children of all ages trying to sleep, and he's so oblivious that his own desire for not just music, but loud music, for music in a certain way, just completely overshadows his noticing other people. Okay. And I'm thinking to myself, how, if that's what this guy is doing on this particular morning, and yeah, I'm stereotyping, I'm assuming it's a guy. Okay. But if that's what this guy is doing at 2 a.m. On a Wednesday night, imagine how miserable his life is because of how much that obliviousness causes harm to the people around him. Imagine to get to this point. I mean, well, I guess that's a separate point. First of all, in this state, however he got this character, however he got this this tendency, imagine what he is, what grief and suffering he causes to the people around him on a day-to-day basis, okay? And then imagine what it must have taken to get him to this point, okay? You can't have been raised, I can't imagine he was raised with good parents who taught him good mitos and having a supportive environment of teachers and mentors and friends, et cetera, and then still turn out like this. I mean, he must have suffered himself in a way that produced this character, okay? But then let's take another scenario, okay? Let's say it's not that he is unaware. Let's say he is he's aware of it, okay? So that's worse, right? Because now he's aware of it. He knows that he's causing people to wake up and disturbing their sleep, and yet he's doing it anyway. I mean, now what kind of messed up mind is that, and how much harm is that causing him in his own life, okay? Or let's say he is not just aware of this. What if he's doing it intentionally, right? What if he's getting some sort of I don't know, pleasure, ego boost, aggressive, you know, fulfillment, I don't know, out of the fact that he is waking people up? I mean, the worse this guy is, the more sorry I feel for him. I mean, what a miserable life to live, and what a miserable future he has. I mean, let's say this guy wants to change. I mean, if this is really so hard baked into his personality that it manifested itself in this way, I mean, that's a long and nearly impossible road to change such a character, you know? And if this guy has kids, I mean, he's definitely going to produce kids that are like this, odds are, you know, and they're going to cause him grief as well. You know, what kind of mate is this guy going to get attracted to? I can tell you, probably not one who's good for him. It's just, the more I think about and flesh out what this type of person's life must be and what kind of a hell it is, it really is like, I am compassionate for him. I mean, yeah, I'm still annoyed that he woke me up, but like just this compassion. And then let's say another scenario. Let's say let's say this guy's not like this in general. Let's say that he had a really bad day, and like, this is the only way he knows how to cope with it. I mean, I feel bad for that as well, you know? So, but at the end of the day, it is the Satan that is making him do this. It is his Yetzer Hara, that is overpowering his Yetzer Tov, that is making him do this. And it is the Satan that is responsible for my body not being aligned with the clocks, okay, whether from my own fault or from the fault of the government and daylight savings. And in that sense, that makes this line from Marcus Aurelius have new meaning. Let me just read this part again. He says, I'm going to read a different translation now just for variety. In one relation, man is the nearest creature to ourselves, so far as we must do them good and suffer them. But so far as they are obstacles to my peculiar duties, man becomes something indifferent to me as much as sun or wind or injurious beast. Okay, so that is what the idea is of the Satan, of the Malach HaMavis. It's a Malach. It's an agent of God. It is, you know, as the Rambam writes about in the Murnevuchim and elsewhere, Malachim are laws of nature. And the Satan is a law of nature. Entropy is a law of nature. The psyche is a law of nature, you know, or laws of nature, however you want to frame it. And it is like the sun and the wind. And it is something that is part of the universe and exists for reasons, exists for a purpose. These things do serve purposes. You know, we have a circadian rhythm for a good purpose. You know, we have clocks and we measure time for good purpose. Those two don't always align, you know. The daylight savings, whether or not it's a good, you know, system, it was instituted by people who were trying to do good for society. And if they are, either they're correct and this really is good and it's just annoying, or it's bad and that's due to their Yetzer Hara, you know, which is also coming from something good. So you have here, what you have here is a universe that is good. And that's the, you know, what the Rambam's main point is in the, uh, in in chapter book 3, chapter 12. And these things are all good, but the coincidence of them, the fact that these all coincided in a manner that woke me up and kept me up, was bad. And here's the kicker, right? It's not even bad. Why? Because I'm having this insight and I'm making this episode and relaying these ideas, and that's really the second part of Marcus Aurelius's thing. By these, meaning by these people who impede you, some action might be hindered, but they are not hindrances to my impulse and disposition because of my power of reservation and adaptation. For the understanding adapts and alters every obstacle to action to suit its object, and a hindrance to a given duty becomes a help, an obstacle in a given path becomes a furtherance. So is this going to make me more tired today? Yes, that is a physical fact. I will be more tired. Might there be other certain physical things that happen as a result of this? Yes, my heart rate I know will be elevated, and I might also experience certain types of stress or lack of patience that I would not have had if I had a good night's sleep. But is this really harming me? The answer is no. To the contrary, it is enriching me because I'm having this realization and having these ideas. And to the extent that you gain from these ideas, then you're also gaining from it. So it really is all good, and the obstacle is the way, and everything. Kol David. Oh, I forgot the phrase. Kol ma David Rachmana latav. Everything that God does is for the good. So really, the only person who's losing is that guy who's blaring the music in the car. And I feel bad that he is stuck in that existence for the conceivable future. So yeah, that's my reflection on last night's bout of insomnia. And I by starting off the day with recording this, then I think this is going to set me on a good path for the day. And if this helped you, then I'm glad as well. Okay, that is it for today's episode. If you've gained from what you've learned here today, please consider contributing to my Patreon at www.patreon.com/RabbiSchneeweis. Alternatively, if you would like to make a direct contribution to the Rabbi Schneeweis Torah Content Fund, my Venmo is at Matt-Schneeweis, and my Zelle and PayPal are MattSchneeweis@gmail.com. Even a small contribution goes a long way to covering the cost of my podcast and will provide me with the financial freedom to produce even more Torah content for you. If you would like to sponsor a day's or week's worth of content, or if you are interested in enlisting my services as a teacher or tutor, you can reach me at RabbiSchneeweis@gmail.com. Thank you to my listeners for listening. Thank you to my readers for reading. And thank you to my supporters for supporting my efforts to make Torah ideas available and accessible to everyone.